This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Yes, sir! I'm here. 1 hour down, 4 hours to go. Keith McPherson on your radio. You already know. It's a different vibe. It just hits different. Feels different, sounds different. Thank you for joining us. 888-808-1019, full rack of calls. We've got guests coming up a quarter after the hour, the next 3 hours. We're talking sports. It is 2025. The future is now. We can't go back to last year. We only have this year. And we have to have some optimism about what's going to happen this year. It can't just be optimism around St. John's, which is great. At least we have St. John's. I don't think the Knicks are winning anything. The Jets and Giants, who knows what's about to happen with the draft and their seasons. And, you know, the Mets and Yankees should be top teams in Major League Baseball. But baseball, you can't predict baseball. That's baseball, Susan. All right, let me see if I can get a couple calls in before we do talk to Eric Bolin in about 10 minutes. Fred in Asbury Park on the Fan. Go for it, Fred.
Hey, Keith. I really enjoy your show. I'm a first-time caller. I wanted to, if you allow me, I'd like to make a quick question about Mikal Bridges and then a comment about Dominguez, if I may. Regarding Mikal Bridges, I just wonder, not so much regarding his play, but you're going to have a fellow named Christian, is that right, later on?
Christian Winfield, yes, sir.
Does he know very well what goes on in the Knicks locker room? Do you know?
I think he does. I connected with Christian Winfield when he was doing the Brooklyn Nets beat. So he's got a good feel for the Brooklyn Nets and for the Knicks. And he's just like a real New York basketball guy. I can't wait to talk to him. I think he's got a good grasp of what's going on.
Oh, very good. Because the reason why I asked that question is my read from looking at the Bridges is, not so much his play so much, but when I see him maybe you picked up on this too, but whenever I see him in a post-game interview, he almost seems indifferent. And sometimes it makes me wonder, I say, is he really happy as a Nick?
That's what I'm saying. His demeanor seems off.
Yeah, there's something there. And maybe Christian knows. That's why I'm asking about that, you know?
It's a lot of pressure. It's like, this is a basketball guy. This guy's built to play basketball. He's an Iron Man. All he does is hoop. He doesn't get hurt. In a league where guys are in street clothes all the time, Mikal Bridges plays. But, like, you know, you got to have joy playing the game. You got to enjoy being out there. And I think there's just so much pressure on him and so much scrutiny because, hey, it's a lot. Like I said, it's a lot louder going to play for the Knicks versus Brooklyn. And, I mean, Phoenix. He was out there in Phoenix. In the desert, you can do whatever you want out there, and they were good. So, and like he was the fourth option. So,
but you think it's pressure more than anything else?
I just think it's a ton of pressure. I saw his post game interview with Alan Hahn after the Knicks beat. I forget who they beat. And he was so short with his answers and like stoic and just kind of, I'm like, this guy, why are you being like that, bro? You're not happy to be in like, this? Isn't this what you wanted?
Exactly. It's like he doesn't want to be bothered or something, you know?
No, I think he is bothered, you know, and it's starting to show that he's bothered and he's not getting the results that he wants for himself and the fans. That's what I said. When you're in the Garden, I've never been on a court, like on the floor on a hardwood. I can't imagine because just sitting in the seats, I've been pretty close. Like you can hear everybody's chatter, everybody's emotions, and I'm sure there are people probably heckling him. I'm sure he is absolutely hearing it. He can't open his phone without reading something about himself.
Yeah. Well, maybe Christian can give us some insight on that.
I will definitely ask him about Bridges, Brunson, Cat, all these guys.
Can I make a quick comment, please, about Dominguez?
Yes, sir.
Just I'm very concerned, Keith, about Yankee management. They do this to me once every season. My head spins. I can't understand why they decide to do things that they do. But, you know, I watched about a week ago. I was watching MLB and, you know, Harold Baines. He came on with some really nice film clips of Bellinger playing left field. And I'm saying, you know, this guy, he's a natural in the outfield, and it doesn't matter where you put him. He was making some great plays in left field. And why do you risk the chance of this guy Dominguez becoming another Gary Sanchez by trying to put a square peg in a round hole? He's not happy in left field. He's not adjusting there. Put him in center field. Give him until Memorial Day, and let's see how he hits, because I think that's why they signed him. He's the same as Gary Sanchez. Both these kids were signed when they were in diapers, because of their hitting prowess, but we gotta let him, you know, relax and hit so we can see how he hits. Then you give him to Memorial Day playing center field, and let Bellinger play left. I don't know.
Thanks for the call, Fred. I don't know. I've kind of come off of it. I had a show last week, I think last Wednesday, where I was like, it's obvious to talk about Dominguez. He's got, you know, three bloopers, errors. He looks lost out there. It's obviously obviously time to talk about, hey, like, let me see something. Let me just see Cody Bellinger in left field. And I went to Baseball Reference and I looked up that Bellinger's played 41 games in left field. And like, he's got major league experience, and so does Trent Grisham in left field. Jason Dominguez does not. But hey, the Yankees know better than me. They know better than you. And I'm not saying that to be sarcastic. I'm saying that like, they have a plan. And if their plan is that they want him to be in left field and stay in left field for when they do DH Judge, and they move Bellinger to right and put Trent Grisham in center, like that's what they want to do. Maybe they feel like they rather have the supreme defense in center. But for the life of me, I don't understand why we can't see Dominguez in center in spring training. It's exhibition, right? If he's not playing well in left field, which he's given a couple games to us of, you know, clean fielding, he's fine going to his right. But I'm like, why can't we see him in center? Everyone, oh, Keith, he's not a better center fielder than Bellinger or Trent Grisham. Yeah, he's not close to their age or experience. I'm not expecting him to be. But his true position coming up with center field. Why can't we experiment in spring putting him in center field, putting Bellinger or Trent Grisham in left? And then I said, hey, Trent Grisham, you know, when he comes back from the hamstring, put him in left field. Why does he just get to go to center field? Who is Trent Grisham? I don't care about the $5, $6 million. Who is Trent Grisham to the Yankees' future? Who is Trent Grisham to this lineup? You need Dominguez every day. But, you know, they put Trent Grisham right there in center field. So, I don't know. I'm off of it. They know best until we get into the season. And, like I said, Yankee Stadium is unforgiving. That left field is an ocean, and the fans are unkind. There are going to be fans that don't even know who he is. They're going to see 24 and be like, is that Verdugo? Josh is in the Bronx. Josh, you're on the Fan.
That's awesome, baby. Let me tell you. One quick point on Mikal Bridges. You are right. Madison Square Garden is a hotbed. It's the world's most famous arena. And this guy, he's a melting pot. I'm speaking of Bridges. If you can't get used to it, you know, then they're going to kick in Deuce McBride or somebody else to put in your place. Step up, baby, because this is the limelight. This is where you are now. Thank you, Keith.
Dickie V, Josh is, you know, it's March. Josh naturally has the Dickie V voice. He's leaning into it. It's awesome, baby. I can't wait for the brackets. I can't wait for March Madness to start. I work nights, so those games come on during the day. I'm feet up. I'm chilling. I'm watching all the games. I'm letting my FanDuel app cool off. I haven't made any bets since the Super Bowl. I feel like I'm winning because I'm not losing, and I'll just lose all the money when
The tournament starts.
That's awesome, baby. Let me tell you.
Connor's already got the Josh in the Bronx Dickie V drop. That's great. 888-808-109. I think we got to break it down here to go get our first guest of the night. If you're on hold, stay on hold and bear with us. Just got to bring in some people that know more than me that can speak more about the teams and about what's going on. Joining us next will be Eric Bolin, Yankees beat writer from Newsday Sports. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. We will be right back. Right back at it on The Fan in New York. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding. And thanks for joining us right now. Eric Bolin, who covers your New York Yankees for Newsday Sports, is on the line. What's up, Eric?
Gentlemen, how are you guys doing tonight?
We're good. We're hanging out. We're talking the talk and bringing you in as expertise on our New York Yankees. It's a night off down there. You could be doing anything else, so I thank you for joining us.
Well, clubhouse opens at 7:50 tomorrow morning, so, and I'm old. I've been doing this a while, so I'll probably be asleep, before 11 o'clock.
Well, that's something I wanted to ask you. One, if no one's giving you your flowers or your respect, ton of respect, how many years, what year is this now, 2025, being on the Yankees beat?
I'm going into my 17th year. My first year was 2009, the year of their last championship.
Well, good first year. there are kids that are listening to the show under 17. So again, props to you, giving you your flowers and thank you for your work. Let's talk about the team. My whole thing tonight is that last year is over, and coming off the World Series last year and losing the World Series, of course the bar is the Yankees must get back and win it. But I don't think it's going to just be a soft AL. As so many people say, the American League is weak and the Yankees are the favorites. I don't think it's just going to be a straight shot. They're going to just win the whole American League. But I do think that they made the right moves. I do think that they did fill some holes, but they also have some holes. Who has stood out to you from the Yankees' new additions, whether it's with the pitching or hitting? What's one guy that you've seen that you're like, okay, yeah, this guy has a chance to be a fan favorite?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'll put spring training into context for people that put more stock into it than they should. None of it matters. It really doesn't. Who looks good? Who looks bad? It really only matters for, A, people trying to make the roster. Max Fried's going to make the roster and slot in after Gerrit Cole in the rotation. So even if he gets torpedoed in his next, three or four starts before the start of the regular season, it really doesn't matter, and then he could go out and win a Cy Young. And you see examples like this all across the league. I've seen it time and time again with the Yankees. A guy has a terrible spring and then, has a remarkable, all-star caliber, season, and vice versa. We've seen guys light it up in the spring and it doesn't work out. The main thing about spring training is guys getting hurt. That pure and simple. I talked to Rob Thompson briefly yesterday when the Yankees were over there playing the Phillies, and he said, we all just hold our breath talking about managers this time of year. It does matter for guys certainly who are trying to make the roster, but for veteran guys, it doesn't matter. That said, a guy that has gotten rave reviews so far is a guy that I mentioned in that brief diatribe a second ago, Max Fried. Talked to catchers that have caught him so far. I remember talking to his manager, Brian Snitker, a couple of weeks ago. Snitker had him for all 8 years that he pitched for the Braves. He said, the Yankees are going to love this guy. Yankee fans are going to love this guy. He's just a professional, has five or six different pitches, and all of them are really good. And I would say that Fried has, in his bullpen sessions, live batting practices, and then even in his first start a few days ago, has shown that as well. We saw Devin Williams out, the airbender pitch for the first time in Clearwater yesterday. He said that he feels that pitch is actually a little bit ahead for this time of year than it typically is. He certainly has been impressive. Clay is his father. Cody Bellinger has swung the bat, pretty well in the early going here too. But, I remember something Derek Jeter said to me years ago when he's winding down his career. He said, look, I've had spring trainings where I saw the ball extremely well and was ready to go regular season, and then I had a terrible April. And I've had spring trainings where I didn't think I'd get a hit all year and, hit 300 for the season. So I always tell people, and certainly the longer that I've done this, don't get caught up in the results of spring training, and don't buy a lot of the propaganda that you hear either from teams or some in the media.
We're on the phone right now with Eric Bolin from Newsday Sports, who covers the Yankees. You know, Eric, as you know, we have more coverage of spring training than ever now. Social media, Instagram, Twitter, all the games that you can watch. Even if the Yankees don't put it on Yes Network, like the Phillies broadcast will have it, or MLB Network will have it. And I think that's what plays into fans who are, you know, just obsessed baseball fans and just hyper-focused on what's the team going to be like and who's performing well and, like, Spencer Jones and George Lombard Jr., like, you know, like watching spring training and taking this small sample size and making proclamations off of it. That's happening everywhere. But you said something that I want to ask you about, right, with the injuries. And, of course, we're excited for, you know, spring training every year, but it also comes with guys doing baseball activities and coming up hurt. And the Yankees very early on here now have lost Giancarlo Stanton without him swinging a bat. DJ LeMay, you got two at-bats. He has the calf injury. He's down. And I think the toughest one to deal with right now is Luis Gil. The news about his lat strain coming off of winning Rookie of the Year, pitching more than he had ever pitched coming off of Tommy John. Now, a guy who was the talk of the beginning of pitchers and catchers reporting, Marcus Stroman, is slotted into the rotation. One, what do you think about Will Warren's opportunity and his chances that he's going to get? And two, do you think that they actually are able to move Marcus Stroman, or do you think the Yankees are going to have to ride this out with Stroman on the team?
Well, I think certainly there's a few different layers to what you just asked there. I'll answer the last part of the question first. They've tried to move Marcus Stroman pretty much, you know, all winter long, especially after they got Max Fried. But they're not going to be in a hurry to move him now because with Heel down really indefinitely, he's not going to throw for the next 6 weeks. If you want to look for a template on this injury, Clark Schmidt suffered a lat strain last year. I think it was during his May 26th start in San Diego. The next time he took a big league mound was September 7th. So he was out just over 3 months. He was no throw for 4 weeks. When Boone was talking to us the other day about it, he said that Heel is no throw for 6 weeks, which suggests to me that maybe this one's a little bit more severe than the one that Clark Schmidt suffered. But you never know. Everybody rehabs injuries differently. So, you know, maybe he'll be right in line with what Schmidt was. But the reality is it still was 3+ months. The Yankees are very lucky that they have a guy like Marcus Stroman with his pedigree, with his career numbers, that they can just slot into that number five spot. Because I can tell you most teams would not have that kind of depth if one of their frontline starters went down. To put a guy in that's got a career, 87 and 85 record, forget the wins and losses, but 3.72 ERA, has been really durable during his career. He's going to be that fifth starter, and, you know, the Yankees are probably fortunate that they were not successful trading him away. Could he still get traded? Of course. I've seen a lot of strange things in my time covering the Yankees, so you never say never on anything, but I would say that Marcus Stroman's going to be staying put because they don't know when Luis Gil is going to be back. And the depth after Marcus Stroman when it comes to starters with the Yankees, both in camp and the organization, it really isn't great. And Will Warren is going to get an opportunity. He has thrown the ball extremely well. And I don't usually rely on what the Yankees tell us on stuff like that. I always want to sample the opposing team scouts that are in town because they will usually give you a more realistic view of what's going on because the Yankees are going to talk up everybody for the most part. But scouts that I've talked to say Warren looks like a different pitcher than he did last year. So it seems like he's made some improvements that just, you know, learned from his little bit of experience that he got last year. And then the depth really kind of drops off even after Warren. But, you know, here's the reality of a given Major League Baseball season. Teams go into any season, and I wrote about this for Newsday tomorrow, so I'll just, you know, kind of plug off my own story that I wrote. They usually plan on needing 10 to 12 pitchers to start games during the course of the season because of injuries or lack of performance, but it's usually injuries. The Yankees were kind of remarkably healthy last year. They only had 8 guys that were required to start games, but you look at the Dodgers, they had 15. You look at the Phillies, who won the NL East. They need 14 guys to make starts during the course of the season. The Cleveland Guardians, that always seem to churn out pitcher after pitcher, they needed 12 to get through last season. I can go on and on with that. So, you know, the Yankees are going to need more than just you know, whatever starting five they leave camp with. That's just the reality of a big league baseball season. And to me, that's one of the biggest concerns that you know, organizationally that they should have, because, you know, I'm not sure the depth is what that they think it is.
We talked about Will Warren, and he's a young guy that's turning heads, and now everybody is super hyped up on George Lombard Jr., as well as Spencer Jones with the game that he had yesterday. Again, it's spring training. These games don't matter. It's glorified practice. It's exhibition. But tell us what you've seen from George Lombard and what you've seen from Spencer Jones and what you expect for them in 2025.
Well, you're not going to see George Lombard Jr. in the big leagues this year, so that break should be pumped, you know, right away. He's going to start more than likely, and you know, long A, you know, not rookie ball, but he'll be in you know, high A probably to start the season, and then you know, you hope that you know, maybe he's knocking on the door of Triple A by season's end if he does really well in Single A, gets a promotion to Double A, and you know, you go from there. But he's only 19 years old. Second big league camp, but this is the first big league camp that he's really gotten significant playing time. But you know, everybody likes him, and there seems to be a lot to like. I'll tell you this: before every trade deadline, I always canvass about 10 or 12 scouts from other teams that are assigned the Yankees organization, and I've done this for years because, again, you know, teams are always going to overvalue their prospects and overhype their prospects. I don't care about the Baseball America rankings. The teams are going to say that what they're going to say about their prospects. But I always ask these opposing team scouts from the Yankee system, from low A ball all the way up to triple A, give me a list of five guys that you absolutely right now would take from the Yankee system. And when I did that last year, two names were mentioned by all 10 scouts that I talked to: George Lombard Jr. and Spencer Jones. And I would say that, you know, hasn't really changed. Now, Spencer, you know, didn't have a bad year last year, but organizationally there was some slight disappointment because the strikeout numbers were just so immense. It was 200 strikeouts, I want to say, and 400 and some at-bats. But, you know, he's still a young kid, too, and his size certainly doesn't help him. I remember Randy Johnson, when he retired, said it's not a tall man's game, and there's a reason why you see so few guys that are big guys like Spencer Jones that actually make it. A lot of moving parts in the swing that can go wrong, and he's just sort of a work in progress. But you know, yesterday all of the aspects of that swing were certainly working for him. But he'll start the season in Double A again, and then you know, you'd see what the progression is from there. We've seen guys have meteoric rises through the Yankees organization and not spend as much time in, let's say, Triple A as you might think. Jason Dominguez comes to mind from just a couple of years ago in that regard. He played, what, 9 or 10 games in Triple A after he got promoted there, and then all of a sudden he was a September 1st call-up. So, you know, I'm not sure that Spencer Jones is on that kind of trajectory, but, you know, you can't say that in early March either.
Couple more questions for you. The left side of the Yankees defense, if you had to pencil in starters today at third base and left field, who would they be and why?
I think it was certainly with DJ LeMahieu going down, it's Oswaldo Cabrera's position to lose. And they certainly, you know, they like how he's turned himself into a super utility player. People need to remember he came up as a natural shortstop, and then the Yankees started moving him around. And he is a joy in the clubhouse to his teammates, always has a smile on his face, one of the most popular guys in that clubhouse. So he's got a lot of backing there. He just needs to show that he can hit in the big leagues. And for, you know, when he's had his opportunities, and they've been sporadic, but the last three seasons when he's had chances, he's fielded whatever position he's been put in relatively well. Just hasn't hit enough. I said on the when camp started, I wasn't convinced that the Yankees starting third baseman for opening day might not yet be in camp, meaning a trade or some kind of a signing. Somebody gets discarded from another camp towards the end of spring training. I still think that's a distinct possibility. Remember, the Yankees traded for John Birdie last year. I want to say it was one day or 2 days before they opened up the season in Houston. So, you know, there's a lot of moving parts to a big league roster right up until opening day. But if you ask me right now what my gut is, I would say Cabrera is the starting third baseman opening day. And in left field, I know Jason Dominguez, the reviews have not been rave. to this point, his work in left field. He still is, to go back to a cliche I used earlier, a work in progress out there. But, you know, 3.5 weeks from now, whatever it is, March 27th for the season opener, I do think you'll see Jason Dominguez in left.
Okay, two more. The leadoff hitter. Who's going to win the leadoff hitter job for the Yankees this year?
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, Aaron Boone, the first day that he talked to us when pitchers and catchers reported, he was asked about that, and he said he could see, you know, organizationally them going any, you know, five or six different directions. I think there's a decent chance that Jason Dominguez actually might be in that spot. They've had a couple of times this spring so far. Austin Wells, obviously, he would not be a threat on the base pass, but he generally has a pretty good eye at the plate, works the count well, which you always want that, certainly from a leadoff hitter. I think that it may be one of those two guys, and Jazz Chisholm Jr., because of his athleticism, speed on the bases, power potential, you know, leadoff double potential, because, you know, he can run, put a ball in the gap right off the bat, and then you get, you know, probably Aaron Judge coming up right after him. He would be in that mix too. And I wouldn't automatically discount Anthony Volpe being there either. We know he's gotten a couple of chances in that leadoff spot, you know, last year in particular, and really didn't gravitate towards. But he is the type of guy, when he's going well, that does see a lot of pitches, obviously can steal some bases too. I would say he may be a dark horse candidate.
Last one. I mean, people are talking about Dom Smith. People are talking about Ben Rice. For the most part, who do you see being the Yankees' DH?
I mean, I would say that Ben Rice would be ahead in that regard. They really like the way that he's swinging the bat. They like what he did with his body in the offseason, adding a little bit of muscle. He's a backup first base option, also a backup catcher option. Not that he would be the backup catcher, but he would be the third catcher on the roster. But they really, you know, the reality is they just like that lefty swing. Dom Smith, you know, an established big leaguer, certainly. Obviously, Mets fans remember him well. He swung the bat pretty well this swing. The only complication there is he's not on the 40-man roster, but, you know, there's going to be, I would say, three guys probably going to start the season on the 60-day IL, so that frees up a and Giancarlo Stanton, I think, is a possibility with that. Luis Gil certainly will start the season on the 60-day IL, and Jonathan Loaisiga, I think, you know, as well. So they can fit somebody on the 40-man roster with no problem, but I would say that Ben Rice right now would be the leader in the clubhouse, so to speak, for the DH role.
Eric, you're the man. Thank you for the time tonight. Keep doing your thing. I'm sure I'll run into you maybe down there the week of March 17th. I'll be down there, and if not, I'll catch you at the stadium.
Look forward to it. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Eric Bolin, Yankees beat writer for Newsday Sports, covering your New York Yankees. Check him out on Twitter at eBolin.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
11, like you just said, 17 years on the Yankees beat, and you know, coming in 2009, that's pretty incredible. That's
you know, an amazing opportunity to cover a team and be doing so with that longevity. I'm glad he was able to join us and give us some of his insight tonight. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to your calls and your thoughts and your questions on the Yankees, on the Mets, on the Giants, on the Jets, on the Knicks, on the Nets. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Let's break it down and we'll come right back. Yo, 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 yo. Hello. We are talking sports over here. WFAN, WFAN, KM to AM. Shout out to Eric Bolin. Coming up in about a half an hour, Christian Winfield will join us. And now we'll get back to you. So everything that I've talked about is just moving on into the new year for all of our teams. Because there's so much conversation about, oh, Jose Iglesias was great last year. The OMG Mets, that was last year. They don't think they can recreate that. Oh, well, the Knicks were so much fun. Those guys were scrappy. Those guys were tough last year. They almost did it. Like this year, that was last year. They have to evolve and become the version of themselves this year that, I don't know, maybe can surprise us in the playoffs and knock off the Celtics, knock off whoever they face. Like, maybe. And, you know, same thing goes for, you know, the Yankees. It is hard to get back to the World Series. It is hard to win it. It is hard to put together new pieces of the puzzle and say, come on, guys. Like, this year is so much on the back of Aaron Judge. He cannot have a slow April. He cannot have a typical October. Like, Aaron Judge is the captain, the face of the franchise, the face of baseball. One of MLB The Show's 99 rated players. Number 99, Aaron Judge. I'm the king of New York, Mello. Did you guys see that? 99 overall player ratings. Call me up and tell me who the other two players with a 99 overall player rating in MLB The Show 2025 are. I just gave you Judge. You could guess the other two players that would be rated 99. And yeah, we got to move forward, Yankee fans. Juan Soto is a Met. And Jose Iglesias is not. Jose Quintana is not. And you don't need the gimmicks. You don't need Grimace this year. But I did see something with the Mets that I was like, okay. I saw the advertisement. I think I saw some stuff percolating on Twitter, and now it's been released. I got to pull up. I got to see this. Mets House opening weekend kicks off with ticket vouchers for the first 50 visitors each day. Appearances by Mets alumni and mascots, kids activities on Sunday, and more. Stop by for one-of-a-kind experiences and special say. Hey, I gotta head it to the Mets marketing team, boy. They will sell the hell out of the Mets. From Super Bowl commercials to a seat for Grimace, $5 Tuesdays. Now they got a Mets House opening up in Union Square West, March 7th, 11 a.m. There'll be merch, activations, and more. I'll see you there. 888-808-1019. Limo driver Ed, what's up? You're back on the Fan.
Hey, my brother, listen, man. I got to go back to the airport, but I'll call. How long are you there till?
Oh, man, I'm here all night. Take your time. Do what you got to do, Ed. I'm here till midnight.
All right,
you
got to
call back. It's all good.
I'll call you back, my brother. Thank you, man. I appreciate you.
Thanks for the call. I think that might be a first in history. And shout out to Ed, because Ed calls me a lot. We've talked we talked a bunch of times. We've spoken at least 10 times on the Fan, and I know that he calls us limo driver Ed. He's at the airport. He's driving people around going, you know. But I think that might be the first that somebody called. Hey, how long you going to be there? This show goes to midnight. I'm not going anywhere. I can't leave. There's a good shot that you pick someone up at Newark, drive them to Pennsylvania, drive back. I'm still on. Kevin is in New Haven on the Fan. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, bro. I just, you know, I'm wondering about Alonzo right now, wondering about the chemistry. And I know you don't always love talking Mets, but we got Soto, Kings in New York. What do you think?
I love talking about the Mets. These are my Mets. These are the Make It Happen Mets. I dubbed them the Make It Happen Mets. I was rooting for Pete Alonso. I'm like, why does Pete Alonso get the short end of the stick? He is the guy. I'm glad that they brought him back. I think that he's going to have a better year this year. I said it. I said that this was going to play into the Mets' hands, right? The deal that you got him for, I don't care about the money. Like, you have the richest owner in the sport. You didn't have to give him a long-term deal. You just give him the money up front. And he had no other market, no other suitors. And Yeah, he failed during the regular season a bunch of times, but he shined when you needed him the most in the postseason. So I think that's behind him. I think this lineup is going to hit no matter what, whether it's Francisco Lindor at the top or Jose Siri at the bottom. And I think Pete is just going to know that, hey, he's got the most money he's ever gotten in his life. He's got that security, right? He's playing another year to go make some more money, right? Go out and test free agency again. And if the Mets want to bring Vladdy in, sure. Vladdy was playing third base today. You know, they're about to open it up for Pete Alonso to go to Toronto. So I'm not down on Pete. I'm rooting for Pete. I think he's going to have a better year in return to form.
Hey, are you going to grow a beard now that they changed the rule?
I can't. I'm a baby face. I can't. I always shave, and I shave every week. I can't grow a beard. Thanks for the call, Kevin. I don't play for the Yankees either. I know I say we a lot, but that's just because, like, I bleed pinstripes. You feel me? Like, I just care a lot. I don't get to take any swings. I can't catch a pop-up in center field, but I'll be at the game rooting for the Yanks. Come on, please. Get to the World Series. Jimmy is in Merrick. Jimmy, you're on the fan. Go for it, bro.
How you doing? I just wanted to talk about the draft. We were talking about the other day on the fan during the day about Cam Ward, the Jets maybe drafted up for him, and the Giants drafted him. You know, if I was the Jets, I'd stay away from him. I'm tired of getting these quarterbacks that play in warm weather, and they come in New York and they can't throw. I mean, Sam Darnold, he's had bad luck in the weather in New York. Zach Wilson's never had good luck in the weather in New York. Shedeur Sanders, I watched him in Colorado. That guy's played in pretty bad weather, and he's always been accurate. And with the type of offense that we have, he plays into that offense really well. So I think the Mets will make a big mistake. I mean, the Jets will make a big mistake if they drafted a guy like Cam Ward instead of staying put and maybe landing Sanders or trading up and not giving away too much for him. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm kind of right there with you, Jimmy. Thanks for the call. If I'm the Jets, I'm not trading up for Cam Ward. They're going to have to give up a lot. Like, you're going to need those assets this year and the next. You're not the Giants. The Giants have a GM and head coach that are on the hot seat. They don't have any time. They need to get a quarterback, finally. They need to change the culture now. Like, they can mortgage the future and go up and get Cam Ward, because if Cam Ward is the guy, then no one cares about what they gave up. The Jets, you have Tyrod Taylor there. And I know he's Tyrod Taylor, but, like, he's an NFL quarterback. He's serviceable, at least for the first year. Jordan Travis, I know we haven't spoken about Jordan Travis a lot, and you obviously saw in the media, if you're following things with Jordan Travis, that, yeah, the Jets, leave it to the Jets. They screwed up his rehab process. They rushed him back. And, you know, I saw the kid play at Florida State. He's dynamic. He's an athlete. He's a baller. He's a competitor. And he had a gruesome leg ankle injury. And I don't know why the Jets would be rushing him back. Were they rushing him back because Aaron Rodgers wasn't any good and Tyrod is mid and they were hoping that they could potentially play this kid at the... I don't know why you would rush him back. But, yeah, they tried to rush him. It was too fast with pressure on the coaching staff, and he had a setback. But all reports said that he will be ready to go for camp this year by the time we get to August, right? So you have two quarterbacks on the roster. You could potentially bring in a Justin Fields, but I did read something recently, if I go back to my notes as well, that the Steelers are favoring keeping Justin Fields over Russell Wilson, which would be a smart thing to do. Keep Justin Fields, bring in somebody else to potentially compete with him, take the younger guy, let him develop another year in Arthur Smith's offense versus Russell Wilson, this is it for Russell Wilson. Maybe the Giants bring in Russell Wilson and draft a Cam Ward. When I look at this situation here, if Shedeur Sanders falls to the Jets, great, take him. I saw that the NFL changed their Twitter background, their Twitter header, to Shedeur Sanders at the combine, just like, you know, laying on a football. And I think that is in support of Shedeur Sanders, who has come under fire in these last couple days. People saying that he was arrogant and brash during his meetings. People saying that he was cocky, he was short, he was, you know, not really interested in some of the teams that he spoke with. Take it for what you want to take it. I mean, I think it's a smokescreen right now. I think there's a team that wants him. I think there's a team that might be talking to Deion. And I told y'all, Deion said he's not going to do what Archie did with Eli. He said if he is pushing buttons, he's pushing buttons behind the scenes to get his son to where he wants his son to be. Now there's mock drafts coming out with Shedeur Sanders going to the Titans, going to the Browns. I think Cam Ward is the better option. I think he's the better player. I like his story and what he's had to overcome. He wasn't the coach's son. He wasn't the rich kid. And don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking Shedeur Sanders for being Deion's kid and being rich, and because he still had to go out there and prove it even more so, right? You know, Cam Ward comes up as like, you're not on anybody's radar, and what you become is great coming from nothing to something. Shedeur Sanders is expected to be great every single time he touches the field from high school on, and he has been. He has figured it out, and he didn't get any calls from refs. They let him get rocked. They let him get sacked. They let him get hit, and he took a hit, and he, you know, found ways to complete passes, and he was still very accurate under pressure. I think a lot of this that we're hearing about Shedeur Sanders being like, it's a different tone that we've heard. Like we've heard stories about him. I'm blanking on this guy's name from ESPN. I'll find him. I've actually talked to him a couple times. You know, he talked about Shedeur Sanders being on Radio Row, and he said, I've never had an athlete come on set, introduce himself, and shake hands with everybody in the crew, and then thank them on the way out. Shedeur Sanders would be the first. Like he was raised right, and he was taught a certain way of how to do things and be there. Like, I also think that Deion Sanders prepped him for the combine. I've been saying this all week. Deion, you guys don't remember watching Deion host the combine? Damn near be on the mic talking, whoa, baby. That's a 40. Oh, you know, being on the field as guys are running the 40s, interview, hey, that was a great, great job running the 40. How are you feeling after that? Like, Deion lived it, worked it. So you think he's not prepping his son on, hey, you're not going there to work out. You're going there to build yourself up. The number one thing a quarterback needs is confidence. As soon as your confidence is shot, you're shot. As soon as you start to double, you know, think and second guess and wonder if, no, you have to have supreme confidence. And so that's why you heard him go in there with those, like, almost rehearsed lines. History repeats itself. I've done it everywhere I've gone. I'm a culture changer. If you don't want the culture change in your organization, don't come get me. Right? I did it at Jackson State. I did it at Colorado. History repeats itself. What's going to be different in the NFL? I'm going to do it again. Like, I think that was rehearsed because I've been following this kid pretty closely for the last 4 years. I've watched the Amazon Prime documentary on Jackson State. I follow him, his brothers. I don't know. I'm a young black dude that played quarterback in college. Like, I've been following him very closely as a fan, even though I'm 15 years older than him. Like, I'm following this guy's career, and I listen to his podcast, and I watch his podcast on YouTube. His demeanor and his delivery and his speech, way different than what we saw at the Combine. I think when he is in the, you know, privacy of his own home and talking to his cousin on the podcast that co-hosts the podcast with him, he's very subdued, laid back. He almost kind of talks under his breath. I almost kind of listen to him like, hey, you have to enunciate. You have to speak better. You have to speak louder and more clear. He was loud and clear at the combine. And his diamonds were dancing, boy. He had the shiniest pair of diamonds. There's a viral video of how the camera couldn't even focus on him because them diamonds were dancing. He's a rich kid. He's a rich kid, coach's son. We've never seen anything like this. We've never seen a top quarterback prospect come into the NFL whose dad was a Hall of Famer, who's just a young, black, like millionaire, multimillionaire already, millions of followers, millions of dollars in the bank. He's already a made man. And, you know, they asked him who he would compare himself to. People were comping his game to Geno Smith. I could see it. But, you know, he compared himself to Tom Brady. Both weren't the most athletic guys, but both will beat you with their mind. They know how to read a defense. Pre-snap read, they know where they're going with the ball. And they're going to take what the defense gives them. Now, Shedeur at Colorado, he held the ball very long. Shedeur at Colorado got in trouble a lot. But I think he kind of just knew, I don't have the greatest offensive line, but I do have great playmakers at wide receiver. You know, I have to throw the ball downfield, even if I hold on to the ball. Like, he won some games like that. So, I don't know. I'm very interested to see where Shedeur Sanders falls. People think he's falling out of the first round? Hell no.
There's no shot. Not in this league. Not in this league. Not with the way quarterbacks are drafted in this NFL. Not with a Zach Wilson drafted at number two, a Trey Lance drafted at number three. No way. 888-808-1019. So, yeah, I don't mind the confidence. I don't mind the, okay, I'm going to go to the combine with prepared lines. And also, I don't mind, hey, if there's a team picking at number, I don't know, 17. Quick story. If you go to my Instagram story, at Keith McPherson on Instagram, I shared a video today from Emmanuel Acho. And a lot of things that Emmanuel Acho says, I'm not really into. But man, he was spitting today. The third story, if you go to my Instagram story 10 hours ago, he talks about the apple not falling far from the tree. How when Deion was coming out, must be the money. Deion's coming out, you know, with the Jerry curl. It looked wet, but it's dry. Deion is coming out, and the New York Giants say to him, hey, we want you to take a test. I guess maybe like the Wonderlic test or whatever it was back then. We want you to take this test. Why? You know, all our potential draft picks take this test back in 1989. It's a written test. We just want to get a feel for what? Where are y'all picking at? Deion asked, where's your pick? Oh, we're in the mid-range, like 17. And Deion said, oh, I'll be gone by the time you pick. I'm not taking a written test. I'm gone. I'm top five, baby. Prime time. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Call me up. I'll be right back.